You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
And specialists, Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Local weather here at HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Today, mostly sunny, high near 71. Tonight, slight chance of showers after 1 in the morning. Tuesday, showers likely before 2 p.m. Otherwise cloudy, gradually becoming mostly sunny, high in the upper 60s. Tuesday night, mostly clear, low around 42. Wednesday, sunny, high in the mid-60s. Cloudy on the overnight, low in the 40s. Sunny on Thursday, again, high 50s. Thursday night, slight chance of showers. Also Friday and Friday night and into Saturday. High will be in the 40s at night, 60s during the day, then clearing up on Sunday. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table. Hey, welcome to the table. Chef Bill here. Coming every Monday at this hour, around 11 o'clock, get together to see what's going on for the week. Trying to find our daily food celebrations, eat the week as we call it, and then, of course, I get the Steph DeShen, her book, Eat the Year. Lady who had a nice food blog for several years, done marketing and just to sought out the food holidays for every day of the year. So if you're ever at a loss for what to cook or any ideas, good thing to check it out. And also with the working our way through the alphabet here, up to letter K, utensils, menu terms, ingredients, whatever we can fit into that category. Of course, today, the most important kitchen utensil is the knife. Talk about knives. And let's see, ketchup. Ketchup could be a great topic. We just think of it as something we rip open out of a little packet and put on hot dogs or hamburgers or french fries. There's much more to it than that. And then kneading, as far as a technique, starts with N, with K, rather, and we'll work that into a couple of ideas for the week. I keep it with your letter. Gone up in blueprint. So the 13th today, Peach Cobbler Day. And cobblers sometimes are, I guess the definition is kind of, it stretches a little bit. Some people use a pie crust. I know we've been guilty of it at Jake's. Sometimes they'll do a cobbler, and it's actually more like a crumb or an oatmeal. Actually, an oatmeal pecan topping would be pretty nice, although not a true cobbler. It's still a nice way to serve some fruit. Actually, tomorrow, the 14th, is National Pecan Day. But the cobbler, we'll explore one today, and use the biscuit dough is probably the the most traditional. And some people drop the biscuits, some roll them. Of course, a rolled biscuit, you have to knead it, so we'll talk about how to do that, how much to do it, or how little in the case of biscuit doughs. And I guess the cobbler, probably the name came from that, just the resembling cobblestones on top of the fruit. And of course, peaches should be coming into season two. I think this year they might be a little tight. I think sometimes poor weather, cold temperatures kind of harms the fruit. So we'll see what happens. So tomorrow, the 14th, pecan, and that's the one true native nut in North America. But also tomorrow's Grits Day. It seems the South is getting the nod this week with the food days. Pecans, although we use them on our harvest salad at the restaurant, pecans can be used in sweet or savory. Most of us think of desserts. We'll do a bread pudding recipe today, but also can be used in stuffings and even a nice sauce for fish. A nice pecan butter instead of maybe almonds, which would be a little more traditional. The almondine, the brown butter with pecans is also, gives that southern touch, especially if you're having fish from that area. The 15th, glazed spiral ham. Not just any old ham, but it has to be the glazed spiral ham. Those are kind of cool because you'd think, well, you know, you're cooking something that's already sliced, but the technique is pretty amazing. It slices it and reassembles it, keeps it pressed together. And when you think of it, the smoked hams, the standard ones we get are already cooked anyway. We're just warming them up. The nice thing about the spiral ham, if you've never had one, is that the slices, it actually is kind of a spiral, the machine they use. And then all you do is take your knife and run it parallel to the bone, and these nice slices just fall off the ham. Advantage of doing it, of course, when you glaze it, is the glaze kind of seeps a little bit more into the ham. It's not just on the surface. It kind of gets in almost a little bit between each slice. You know, that flavor gets in there. The 16th, mushrooms. We celebrate all things mushroom. The 17th is the cheese ball is celebrated. And, of course, oftentimes you buy those already coated with, of course, could be walnuts, could be even pecans, if you like. I've seen mushroom cheese with mushrooms, even in the center or even on the outside. I would think take some really finely minced mushrooms and saute them till the liquid's pretty gone from them, almost like a, you know, and I won't say like a fried piece of mushroom, but get them pretty firm, and you could roll cheese in that and have a nice cheese and mushroom ball. So there's probably good variations. I guess the thing is that you need that kind of that processed pot cheese or pub cheese, I guess we call it, that flavors, usually cheddar. I've seen done with cream cheese, and that could be I think it was, I had my mother-in-law would do it with curry and chutney. And then you could also roll those maybe in some toasted almonds. So I have your own variation on the cheese ball. 18th is animal crackers. What can we say? Animal crackers, they are what they are. Kids have them. I guess the string was attached, so the little box there could be used as a Christmas ornament. Apparently that's the reason for the string. And then the 19th, we celebrate garlic. And for those of you that's probably a love-hate thing, some people just can't have any garlic, or at least the raw garlic. We get, of course, requests in the restaurant for that. No garlic, and sometimes a granulated or garlic salt is okay, but sometimes it's the punch from the raw garlic that sometimes just upsets people's stomach. I don't know about an allergy so much as a sensitivity to it, or just you don't want the taste of it. But roasting it really transforms it, so we're going to do that today. Another little trivia under the letter K. Have you ever heard of the kissing crust? Kissing crust. I never heard of that. I ran across it the other day, and it's when you make loaves of bread, and oftentimes breads are baked in a pan, but if, I don't know, the Columbus Bakery up in Syracuse, you know, homemade bread, you have the loaves kind of lined up together, so as they proof or rise, they grow together, just, I guess, like making biscuits in a pan. Parker House rolls are kind of like that. You put them close together, and they all kind of push together. So you've got, that's the portion of the loaf of bread that's in contact with the next loaf. So you have your brown crust on top, then the kissing crust is that soft one between the loaves. So for what it's worth, a little trivia there. Have you had enough of mine? You've been telling me you're a genius since. So with knives, what do we do with knives? That's the letter K, the tool that we need. I think knife skills, of course, we're teaching culinary. First thing you teach the students is how to use the knife. There's many tools in the kitchen that do some of the work that a knife would do or would previously have done, but then we talked last week about the mandolin. When you're julienning things, it was letter J, so the mandolin, you know, meant to give you nice thin slices, but you can also do this with a knife. And people, I know there's nice knife sets out there. I like the carbon stainless. I've used the high carbon knives that aren't stainless. Of course, I have an old Chinese cleaver that has that. The trouble is, of course, it gets discolored. Very easy to sharpen, but the appearance of them is not always the prettiest if you like the nice high carbon stainless steel. There's ceramic knives out there that are very sharp. You wouldn't think so, but other materials out there now for knives. I think the thing to look for is, of course, the comfort in the handle, depending on the size of your hand. Of course, the knife's the one kitchen tool where it doesn't matter if you're left or right-handed. It's the same, although I'm sure there's some handles that are designed out there for strictly left or right-handed people. Little target market there. But we'd like the handle to be comfortable. Your choice, whether you have a nice polished wood, ebony. Some people like the plastic ones that are on there because they sanitize easily. If you have your knives on display, of course, you want them to look good. Storing knives, of course, in a drawer is not considered the best practice because they get kind of dinged up. If you have a nice knife holder, the best ones are just a magnet that the knife sticks to, and then it doesn't get banged around even in the slots of the holder. Although if the knife holder is wood, you have a little bit less chance of damaging the knife. We're up against the quarter hour. When we come back, we'll talk about what knives do you need and what are they used for, and what's the minimum? Is there a minimum number of knives that we need? Do we need a specific knife for every task in the kitchen? When we come back, Chef Bill's Table.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com. Mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
I'm Dave Lang with Insight Financial Services and a proud member of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I believe that our participation and all of the opportunities that the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce offers to its members strongly contributes to our success.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Tired of the limitations of your small office shredder? Do you need to be compliant with federal regulations regarding the disposal of sensitive information? Are you concerned about identity theft? If so, then call AssureShred. AssureShred will provide your company customized on-site document destruction service that fulfills regulatory requirements and at the same time protects your organization from the consequences of the improper disposal of sensitive information. To obtain a free quote or to schedule an appointment, call AssureShred at 877-466-1566 today. That's 877-466-1566.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is a Forward New Jersey Coalition member.
For too long in America, we've been putting off funding infrastructure, saying we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But on August 1st, 2007, hundreds of vehicles tried crossing the I-35 bridge in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and disaster struck. The I-35 bridge collapsed. 13 people were killed, 145 were injured, and traffic was obstructed for over a year. It didn't have to happen. Years before, inspectors had rated the bridge structurally deficient, but they were ignored. In New Jersey, we have 479 bridges carrying 8.2 million vehicles a day that are rated worse, and we can't afford to ignore that. As of June 30th, the state's Transportation Trust Fund will be empty. We need to replenish it so that our roads and bridges can be fixed and future problems prevented. And we can. Go to forwardnewjersey.com to find out how. Paid for by Forward New Jersey.
Okay, we're back at the table here. Chef Bill, so knives, what do we need? Quick rundown here. Normally a good knife set, once you decide on the style you like and the material, of course, if you ever heard the term tang, the full tang or at least three-quarter, that's the portion beyond the blade, behind the blade that fits into the handle. You want to make sure that it goes at least three-quarters of the way back. This way the knife, well, it's better made, it'll last longer, it's secured to the handle, you get a little bit better balance, because usually, obviously, the handle would be lighter than the blade. I like the knife to be well balanced, so it's the blade's not really heavier than the handle, because really when you're, especially when you're chopping, I think that's why I used to like the Chinese cleaver, those cleavers that aren't meant for really cutting bones, like a meat cleaver, but they're thinner. And the weight of the blade is what does a lot of the chopping. I know for tedious tasks, say in the commercial kitchen, we've got to chop a whole bunch of parsley or mince something. You've got a lot of repetitive motion. You don't want to really be forcing the knife down as much as letting the knife drop. It really kind of combats the fatigue that can happen. And also when you're chopping, some people tend to hold the knife too tightly, and of course, then their hand will get tired. You really do not need to hold the knife, grip it very, very tightly when you're doing most slicing and chopping. As a matter of fact, if you relax a little bit, you will not find you get as fatigued, especially if you're slicing or dicing a lot of foods. And again, more on the commercial end when people are doing it maybe for hours on end. But even in the home, you don't just relax a little bit. I tend to hold the blade, the heel of the blade between my thumb and forefinger. A lot of people will hold the handle and then put their forefinger on top of the blade. That can get a little tiring after a while also. Again, the blade should be doing the work and not you. If the blade isn't sharp, of course, the most dangerous thing is a dull knife because you start forcing the knife through your product and things can go awry pretty quickly. One example is bell peppers. I find, of course, a little skin on there. If your knife isn't very sharp, if you're slicing those with the skin side up, sometimes the knife can deflect a little bit, and next thing you know, you can take off a fingertip. The other thing, when you're holding product to be sliced, of course, we always curl our fingertips under so the knife can kind of be guided down the second digit of your hands rather than nipping off your fingernail or your fingertip. So as I say, the balance is good. Now what do we need? We need, of course, the all-purpose, the cook's knife or the French knife, the standard kind of a tapered blade. The length, you see them as small as 10 inch. You could go up to 16 inch. And again, depending on your size, the size of your hand, what you're most comfortable with. Some people like a smaller one, a little bit lighter. And then others, I would say 12 inches probably about standard for most people in the home. So a good cook's knife, again, a fairly heavy heel because you can use the heel for certain things. And, of course, you want the taper at the end. You want it not really a 45-degree angle. You don't want it too thin. That's more on your slicer. But you do want the tip there for certain work. A paring knife, a very good paring knife, is essential a lot of times for obviously taking the skin off fruits, things like that, or even fine dicing. Say you want to mince or to slice a shallot very thinly. A lot of times people use the paring knife. It's a little smaller, easier to control. You need a good slicer if you do roasts. And a slicer, of course, your plain blade. Sometimes wavy ones are pretty good. They'll stay sharp a little bit longer. But a good long, at least 12 inch or so slicer, usually they can have a tapered end or they can have a rounded end, but something long so you can get through a big roast. And we also find we need a serrated knife, and especially for bread. Of course, if you don't have, again, bread, the two things that kind of ruin knives too are cheese and bread. You wouldn't think that cheese would do that, but they will tend to dull knives. Cheese, usually have a slicer or even a cheese wire for your hard cheeses. The serrated for fruit, for bread, serrated for the fruit, again, going through just that texture of that sometimes works a little bit better. Like, say, you're cutting lemon wedges, you know, you've got the skin to get through and then the soft inside. Not really worried about the effect of the knife on the fruit. It's not going to leave any marks in there. We use an offset serrated knife for bread, a little better for, again, your fatigue. Ergonomically, it's better. Some of our cooks like to use those for slicing and chopping. It's your choice. Sometimes the offset knives maybe work better for you. I guess if you're tall or if you're at a low counter, it would help out. Just so, again, when you're doing slicing, I think a lot of people don't do it because they're not comfortable with it. They're, of course, afraid of the sharp blade, but then not really sure how to hold things. Or when you're slicing, I mean, you're not just banging the board with the knife like hacking you would with a hatchet. Once in a while, that technique may be called for, but most of the time, you're doing almost a slicing motion, kind of pushing the knife down and forward at the same time. You're not going just straight through. One little hint, if you if you're cutting things, even whether it's carrots, anything, vegetables, and the knife kind of hits the board a little hard, then that means you're forcing the knife through and it needs to be sharpened. Another good little knife, a little bit bigger than the paring knife, is a good boning knife, again, for butchery. Also, small tasks, you want a good, sometimes they're straight, sometimes they're curved, but a good straight boning knife, again, for carving smaller items, or using it as a large paring knife. Sometimes I've done that. Then, and of course, if you like the specialty ones that really, if you like, if you have raw shellfish, the clam and or the oyster knives, the clam knife, of course, looks like a almost like a paring knife with a rounded edge, but the knife isn't sharp. You don't want to use a real sharp knife to open a clam. You're pushing the knife through the clam to the heel of your hand, and that's, you should use a towel anyway, but a sharp knife is really not what you want. The clam knife is just a blade that can't really slice anything, but it's enough to get between the two halves of the clam and open it up. And of course, an oyster knife is more of a pointed knife. You've got to insert the point in the hinge of the oyster, and then you can twist it open, take off the, you can use it, it's enough to slice the meat from the shell, but that's about it. These are not cutting knives, these are specialty knives that if you have the raw shellfish in your diet plan, then you actually need these things. I would, again, please don't try to open a clam with a paring knife. You're setting yourself up for an accident. All right, and sharpening the knives, of course, if you're using your knives fairly often, we like, well, the cutting board's the other big thing, I guess, to worry about here. If you have one of those plastic ones, the hard plastics seem to be in vogue. I mean, they're good because they don't absorb anything. You don't get cuts in them, but they can really wreak havoc on your knives. Wood, I still think, is the best. A nice hardwood cutting board, because you can actually scrape it down with just plain steel wool. You're actually sanding some of the wood away, but that gives you a nice fresh layer. Wood does act as an antibacterial. Some of the smaller composite boards are okay, but once you can see the slice in there, just like when a china plate gets cracked, once you can see the crack, that means there's dirt in it. Even though it's been through the dishwasher and sanitized, if you can see it, that means, you know, there's something in there that... it's a different color, something different than what you started with. So if you see a bunch of slices in your composite board, then maybe it's time to change it. And depending, again, on the board, the wood is the best for the knives, doesn't dull them that much. You want to keep a sharpening steel on hand. And what we like is the ones that are coated with diamond dust. And they're industrial. It's not really that expensive. It could be, I don't know, $25, $30 in a store. But those steels, they're actually going to sharpen the knife rather than just hone the edge on them. We've got a break for news and possibly weather, and then we'll be back talking about ketchup and the variations, our ingredient K for this week. Chef Bill's Table.
USA Headline News. I'm Ron Taylor. Officials have confirmed that one person is dead at a community college in North Carolina after a shooting on campus. Police responding to reports of shots fired at Wayne Community College in Goldsboro say one person was shot and died in the campus library. It's unclear if the shooter has been killed or captured. The school is about 30 miles southeast of Raleigh. Now that she's officially a presidential candidate, it's off to Iowa for Hillary Clinton. The Tuesday visit to the important primary battleground state will be the first official campaign stop in her bid to take the White House in 2016. The Reverend Al Sharpton wants another police officer to be indicted for not helping an African-American who died after being shot by a white officer in South Carolina. The civil rights leader made the comment in an interview in North Charleston, where he gave a sermon yesterday at a memorial service for Walter Scott.
Stocks are opening flat as investors get ready for a busy week of earnings reports. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was slightly down in early trading, while the NASDAQ and S&P 500 were ahead. This is USA Headline News.
Owning and caring for a home comes with a lot of to-dos. Fix the AC, build a deck, remodel the kitchen. Whatever your home improvement need, Home Advisor can help you find a pro you can trust to get the job done right. Go to rebuild.homeadvisor.com for instant access to top-rated pros in your area, including electricians, handymen, remodelers, whatever type of home pro you need. Home Advisor is absolutely free to use. At Home Advisor, you don't have to search through a long list of pros. With just a few clicks, Home Advisor matches you with pros who provide the exact services you need. You can read customer reviews of the pros, even use the cost guide to find out what hundreds of other home projects cost in your area. Because Home Advisor knows it's important to find a pro you can trust in your home, they conduct background checks on their service professionals. It's just one of the reasons more than 25 million homeowners have used Home Advisor. Go to rebuildhomeadvisor.com to find the right pro for your project. That's rebuild.homeadvisor.com.
Well, quick rundown of local weather. It's in the 47 outside right now. Our studios in Flemington. And for the week today, mostly sunny. High near 70. Tonight, a slight chance of showers after 1 in the morning. Tuesday, showers likely before 2 p.m. Otherwise, sunny. High near 66. Clear on the overnight Tuesday into Wednesday. And Wednesday night, clouding up. Low back in the 40s. High in the 50s on Thursday, then starting Thursday night, chance of showers 30-40%, you know, Thursday night, Friday night, and into Saturday. So that's what's ahead, at least from this standpoint, from the week. We'll be right back with Chef Bill's Table.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Back at the table here, Chef Bill. So let's get on with our ingredient, ketchup. What is ketchup? So the ketchup we know today, of course, the tomato is the one that everybody thinks of when we say ketchup, but originally it was probably more like a fish sauce, a Southeast Asia type thing. And of course, mushroom, walnuts, other things became ketchups in England. And then, of course, once the tomato made its way into cuisine, that became the choice. But other fruits can be used. We've used them. We've done a mango ketchup on one occasion for, I forget, it was a beer or wine dinner. Ketchup's also the base for many things, obviously. Barbecue sauces, things like that. Chefs all the time start with ketchup. We've done spiced ketchups, interestingly enough, even though ketchup is cooked a long time, when you saute ketchup with a couple of aromatics or chilies, whatever, it changes not just the flavor, but the appearance, the whole thing, It's crazy because you figure you take something that's already cooked and then, you know, if you cook it, is it really going to... If you're simmering it, you know, it's one thing, but you saute it in some hot oil and you have to, you know, kind of be careful. It may splatter a little bit, but you really do change it. It's the classic, I think, is the... it's a kind of a barbecue sauce for roasted or fried cauliflower, Indian cuisine. Do marvelous things with vegetables anyway, vegetarian culture. That's where I first saw this. So we did them, restaurant week. We did the portobello fries with, of course, this week we'd be right on with it, celebrating the mushroom with a spiced ketchup where we take some garlic, ginger, shallots, and you saute those just like you're starting a stir fry, and then add the ketchup and kind of fry that a little bit. It changes it. And then add your other seasonings, a little soy and sugar, chili flakes we would use in that one. And there's many variations of ketchups out there. We're using the tomato ketchup as a base and then flavoring it. Kind of liking even the ingredients when you see chutney recipes. Chutneys are another kind of fall in the same kind of condiment area. There's relishes, all these kind of sweet, sour, savory things instead of sauces, and that seems to be the way things are going. Instead of the heavy traditional sauces now, sometimes the new sauces are more of this little side condiment, or maybe something like a quick glaze, something that you would have maybe at room temperature or chilled on the side, and then just put on the hot food at the last minute. So the ketchups, a couple of recipes I found, and they seem, again, with the ingredients, if you looked at a chutney recipe, you'd see something very similar. You've got the cooked fruit, and you always have some onions, there's always acid, there's always sugar, and then some kind of seasoning or spice. And we did that mango habanero ketchup, and that called, actually, it did have some tomatoes, but it was yellow tomatoes, so it didn't make the color. It was, you know, this brighter orange color ketchup instead of the red, and the yellow tomatoes weren't a main ingredient. They were just in there for the acid and some of the texture. But I found one, a banana guava ketchup. The East Coast Grill, Thrill of the Grill, this book, the author and the chef, Chris Schlesinger, I think he's still in business out there. So a little diced onion sauteed in oil and five ripe bananas, which is about 2 pounds. You want them fairly soft. 4 ounces of guava paste mixed with a cup of orange juice, or if you can't find guava paste, 12 ounces of guava nectar. 2 tablespoons of brown sugar, 2.5 tablespoons of raisins. And this one calls actually for some curry powder, tablespoon. Another 1/2 cup of orange juice, 2 tablespoons of white vinegar, and then 4 tablespoons of lime juice. So you've got your acid, you've got all the components there of actually, you know, something that could even be a chutney. But the thing is with the ketchup, you cook until things are very, very smooth, and either strain or not strain, depending. I would not strain this because your raisins, you want to see them whole. But I know with the mango ketchup, we would puree that at the end because it had some peppers, some tomatoes. You want a little heat, of course, when you're cooking this, a little jalapeno or serrano or habanero in there will give you that little spiciness that you might like. Actually found one for peach ketchup. And, of course, we have our peach cobbler this week, but let's say you get a bunch of peaches on hand. You want to save some. And with the cobbler or the ketchup, of course, I would dare say the frozen slices would be okay. I don't think I'd use canned. Although, again, you're cooking them anyway, but that might be a little bit too sweet. But the frozen would definitely work. 'Cause you want some texture in this also. So a couple of onions chopped, oil, you're sauteing onions. You have, if you wanted more of a chutney, you would slice the peaches. If you want it more smooth, of course, smaller pieces would be nice so they kind of dissolve. You could probably also substitute the mango in this one with the seasonings. You need 4 tablespoons of brown sugar, 4 tablespoons of white sugar, a tablespoon of molasses, so there's your, and then some raisins, about 1/4 cup. So there's your sweetened element. Then you've got salt and pepper, some lemon juice, 1/4 teaspoon of allspice, 1/2 cup of white vinegar. There's your acid also with the lemon juice. Allspice is kind of a primary flavoring in tomato ketchup. When you see that little bit, you know, allspice and cloves, maybe some cinnamon sometimes. I know I made some ketchup at the restaurant a couple of years ago. I actually used some Jersey canned tomatoes to make it. It was a tomato ketchup, so I got the Jersey fresh. It was something that it was a had to be like a local green dinner, you know, so we used, you know, the local beers and local food as, you know, as much as we could. So I found the Jersey fresh canned tomatoes and made a ketchup out of it, and of course strained it. You don't want the seeds in there, but turned out, you know, it's a lot of work. You can really appreciate the convenience of ketchup when you make your own. But by making your own, what you can do is, of course, control the sugars that go in there. Say if you don't want to do the corn syrup thing, you know, you can put, you know, your regular cane sugar or fruits to sweeten it. And of course, the amount of salt that goes in there too, you can control if it's something you have to watch. So making your own condiments, you know, kind of cool. And they last for a while in the refrigerator. You make chutneys or ketchups, things like that, they'll last for a few weeks in there. So as long as they're tightly covered and you don't have too much temperature abuse there, it's all preserved. So that was kind of the idea, I guess.
Drive west on Sunset to the sea.
Something else along that line, of course, with Garlic Week, I found a garlic and onion jam. And this is another term that kind of gets stretched a little bit. So a jam, you see, and marmalades, things like that. You're seeing bacon marmalade, onion marmalade, these things. And again, implies this, you know, addition of sugar. And we always want some acid, some vinegar to balance it out. So with garlic, of course, you know, taking the punch out of it, roasting it is the best way to do this. A lot of times you'll see in recipes, especially French cuisine, I remember the garlic would be blanched first in water to kind of take some of the punch out of it, and then chilled and then sliced. So not really cooked that much in the water, but just to take away some of that harshness. But if you wrap garlic in foil with some olive oil, just the whole bulb, and 300 degrees in the oven for about an hour or until they're soft. Once it cools off a little bit, you can just squeeze the roasted garlic out, and it's really, really transforms it. And of course, you want to save this oil. If you have just the garlic puree, mix it with some of the oil, you've got a nice base for things. This one, of course, would call for 4 tablespoons of oil, peanut oil if you can, or another oil, 2 large onions sliced. You've got a large garlic bulb, of course, roasted. That can be done ahead of time. Or at the same time, these onions, you want to get these onions cooked. It's going to take a while to get them nice and soft without burning them. So you're going to saute the onions till they're very soft. Then we add our 2 tablespoons of sugar, 4 tablespoons of balsamic vinegar, and either a teaspoon of fresh chopped thyme or a tablespoon of fresh or teaspoon of dried. Thyme is a good onion flavoring, then salt and pepper. But you have these very, very soft caramelized onions, the sugar, the vinegar, and then that roasted garlic in there. You've got a nice condiment for grilled meats. And again, something that will hold up for a while. Try it this summer when we start grilling. We've got a break for a couple of messages, and we'll be back at the table.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
This is Megan Jones Holt, the radio host of the Rotary Hour and president of Boxes for You. Why am I a member of the Chamber of Commerce? It can be summed up in one word: opportunities. Opportunities to market your business and yourself.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
All right, back at the table here. So we talk about kneading dough, our K technique this week. What do we mean? Of course, you're working. Bread dough needs to be kneaded for at least 10 minutes or so. Pasta dough, anything where you're trying to build up the strength, you activate the gluten in the flour, and of course you let it relax a little bit after that so it doesn't immediately shrink up too much when you're trying to form it. Especially, say, a pizza dough, you want to let it relax a little bit first. When you're kneading a biscuit dough that we'd use for our cobbler, of course, you just want enough to combine the ingredients. You don't want it to be tough. Again, it's usually a fairly quick process, and then we usually let the dough rest a few minutes anyway. But so your kneading can go from very brief to at least 10 minutes. And, of course, a stand mixer with a dough hook will do this for you if you're making bread. Kind of take away the physical aspect of it. Even a food processor for a small batch, there's a blade that's not really sharp. It's a pastry blade that you can use it for cutting, shortening your butter into pie crust, even for the biscuit dough that you would use on your peach cobbler would call for a nice biscuit crust. We would use the butter or the shortening butter, of course, would be a little nicer flavor. I know for pie crust, when my baker at Mirlikin, she used to use Crisco shortening and Fleischmann's margarine. She had to have the name brand stuff, but her, you know, pies came out well. But, yeah, shortening or butter, but butter probably for the biscuit crust is better. So you cut the butter in, and there is a special knife for that, a pastry blender. I just use two table knives sometimes, just regular knives that you'd, you know, serve with dinner, and you just cut the shortening or the butter, and it should be very cold. You don't want it to mush together like making a paste. You want to be able to see the little bits there separately, and of course resembles either coarse cornmeal, small peas, some of the descriptions that the recipes will say. The food processor does very well with this. You can cut it right in. Two knives will do it. A pastry blender is nice, but that's really what it's good for, is the one thing. And just cross with the two knives, kind of your hands just moving away from each other, just chopping up the little pieces. I've even used my hand, if you do it quickly enough so your body heat doesn't melt the shortening, you can kind of pull the shortening in little pieces or the butter and get a good result for your dough. So we got a biscuit dough, so we're not going to need it. Once we have the liquid, we just want to get it together. If you're going to drop the biscuits, of course, it can be nice and lumpy. If you want to roll the biscuits, you may need a little bit more flour. And then, of course, with your cutter, you want to cut your nice circles if that's the presentation you like. There are biscuit cutters out there. Sometimes there's people who even use a glass. If you do squares, all the better. If you have a square pan, then you don't have any leftovers, any waste. But as far as your fruit, you're doing with fresh fruit, sometimes it helps to bake the fruit first. You've got your sugar and whatever spices you're using. If you want the fruit to be fully cooked, bake it for about 15 minutes and then put the biscuit topping on. And that way you don't have overcooked biscuits or undercooked fruit. It's almost better to have the fruit a little bit too cooked, and you know, unless you're an al dente fan with your cobblers. But apples, peaches, different fruits could be used for this. Stone fruits, pear, anything could make a cobbler. And then, of course, for our pecans, a maple pecan bread pudding. Call for a loaf of bread, and it could be French or Italian. You want to take the crust off. I guess the loaf would be, I don't know, 14 ounce, a pound. 8 eggs, 4 cups of half and half, cup and a half of maple syrup, and actually a quarter cup of flour would go in. This helps it firm up a little bit. You've already got bread there, but you know the flour is going to help a little bit. So you make your custard, a little teaspoon of vanilla, a pinch of salt. You always need salt in the sweet things. Helps to balance it. And a little cinnamon and nutmeg. And then you're going to have a half cup of toasted chopped pecans on the side. So we're going to have the bread sliced without the crusts, of course. Your oven at 350. Soak the bread in the custard. Press it down so it kind of absorbs some of the custard a little bit. Let it sit for a few minutes. Let that bread get good. It should be homogeneous. It should look, that same color should be through all the bread. And then you're going to do the 350-degree oven, the water bath that we've talked about before. You have your baking pan, your baking dish, and a little half inch of water, hot water, in another pan. And you're going to cover this with foil. Bake it for about an hour in the water bath. You just want to set the custard. You don't want to brown it too much. Then you'll remove the cover, sprinkle the pecans on, and bake it for about 15 minutes uncovered. Save a little bit of maple syrup for on the side, and you've got a nice maple pecan bread pudding. So it sounds like you can make a good meal this week with the days that are coming. We've got a nice glazed ham. And we could have some, maybe some nice mushroom soup as a starter, or have some portobello fries on the side of the ham. You've got a pecan bread pudding. You've got a peach cobbler, or you could make a peach ketchup to go as a condiment for the ham, or a peach chutney. I don't know. Everything kind of follows together here. We've got a up against the hour here, so we'll be heading out pretty soon. Talk to you next week. We'll be eating the week. Soup from ShopRite is next on 100andchamberradio.com. Chef Bill signing off. We'll see you next week.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Headline News. I'm Ron Taylor. Officials have confirmed that one person is dead at a community college in North Carolina after a shooting on campus. Police responding to reports of shots fired at Wayne Community College in Goldsboro say one person was shot and died in the campus library. It's unclear if the shooter has been killed or captured. The school's about 30 miles southeast of Raleigh. Now that she's officially a presidential candidate, it's off to Iowa for Hillary Clinton. The Tuesday visit to the important primary battleground state will be the first official campaign stop in her bid to take the White House in 2016. The Reverend Al Sharpton wants another police officer to be indicted for not helping an African-American who died after being shot by a white officer in South Carolina. The civil rights leader made the comment in an interview in North Charleston, where he gave a sermon yesterday at a memorial service for Walter Scott. Stocks are opening flat as investors get ready for a busy week of earnings reports. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was slightly down in early trading, while the NASDAQ and S&P 500 were ahead. This is USA Headline News.
Would you wait several days for your shower to get hot? Would you wait several days to feel the full effect of relief from your nasal congestion? Flonase Allergy Relief Nasal Spray could take that long. But if you're congested now and you want powerful relief now, use Afrin No Drip. Afrin starts working in seconds and keeps working for 12 hours. So why wait several days to feel the full effect? When you can start to get relief in seconds with Afrin. Afrin, powerful congestion relief without the wait. Use as directed.
This is a special broadcast. At 4:10 p.m. today, I died. I died. And yet here I am. Why? I am a messenger of God.
This Friday.
This is the beginning.
A star fell from heaven. It changed us and gave us a new destiny to stop the devil himself.
Wait, you mean like the devil?
The end will begin.
We're the angels of the apocalypse.
The Messengers, series premiere Friday on the CW.
Despite the presentations of the long-delayed Purple Hearts for the surviving victims of the Fort Hood shootings, questions remain if the Obama administration is willing to pay medical benefits to many of those people. USA's John Clemens has more.
After being denied recognition since the November 5, 2009 shooting rampage by Major Nadal Hassan because the administration described the attack as workplace violence, the question still remains, will those in need of long-term medical care receive benefits?